Tuesday. C-minus 38. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Sooner than they could have reasonably expected, Dan and Clark saw Trey's familiar Blue Dish Network van coming towards their parked car at the edge of the drive-in. Clark flashed the headlights twice to make sure he saw them. Trey pulled up behind them, at which point the brothers stepped out and joined him in his van. Dan wasted no time in handing over a scrap of paper, which contained the precise coordinates of the very spot where he and Emma made the step across an invisible threshold that brought into view the messenger's gargantuan craft. The craft they had then proceeded to enter before coming face to face with two awe-inspiring humanoid extraterrestrials. "You said I couldn't ask any questions on the phone?" Trey said. Having already looked around and seen several flasks and food containers, as well as a backpack, which complemented the mountain of equipment that lived in the back of the van, Dan already knew Trey was in. He didn't have to reveal or tease anything else to persuade him, but there was no harm in letting him ask. "Go on." Trey's question, really a double question, was very simple. "What's going to happen, and how do you know?" Counting on Trey knowing precious little about astronomy, Dan fell back upon the slightly flimsy explanation he'd previously suggested to Clark, that he had identified a pattern in a meteor shower and could accurately and confidently predict that a major event, but not a dangerous one, was going to occur at a certain place and time. "It might not be a meteor, and it might not even be natural," Dan said, "but it won't be dangerous." Trey didn't dismiss the explanation out of hand, which was all Dan needed. If he wasn't in before, he certainly was now. Dan then impressed upon Trey the importance of keeping quiet about both his destination and the reason for his trip. He also insisted that Trey promise to share no footage he might record with anyone until he had brought it back to Birchwood to be studied. Dan promised a large payment for Trey's effort, whatever the result, as well as gas money and expenses for the long trip. Although Trey was grateful for this and didn't argue, by now he had heard enough to have been willing to do it for free. "It's not about money," Trey said, almost glowing with excitement. "Dan, you had me. It might not be natural. I remember when I helped you out with the letter before I knew what it was, and that changed everything. If this ends up being even one-tenth as important as that..." "We owe you, man," Clark said. "Keep in touch, yeah? And take a few breaks. It's a long-ass drive." "What did you tell your wife?" Dan asked. "Because it is a long way. By the time you have a rest, you probably won't be back until Thursday morning." Trey smiled. "When I told her I had a hot lead from Dan McCarthy, she pretty much kicked me out of the house and told me to chase it until I catch it. She knows to keep it on the down low, and she knows I wouldn't be leaving like this if it wasn't big. Besides all the stuff you guys helped me out with last year, letting me put the Blue Dish logo on the big screen, Emma sending me the footage of everyone celebrating at Timo's observatory, and letting me use it as an exclusive, all that stuff. That literally paid for our new house in Lipton. You don't owe us anything. Trust me on that." "And you're okay finding the exact spot of these coordinates?" Clark asked, keen to make sure. "Yeah, I'll just use my phone once I'm out of the van," Trey said. "I've got backup power sources piled up in the back. I've got everything I'll need and more. For now, the van's navigation system will get me into the general area. Let me just type it in." As Trey typed the coordinates in the absence of an address, his eyes widened in surprise when the screen displayed the nearest parking spot. "Lolo National Forest?" he read aloud. "And damn, that's a real walk from the van. I'll be limited in what kind of equipment I can carry." "Seriously," Dan said, "we just need some footage. Video from a phone's camera would be better than nothing. The point is that with the way things are these days, only the GSC can gather data from space. We only have what we can gather from the ground, and there are no private facilities anywhere near Lolo. We just need to see what happens. I just need to see what happens." Trey nodded, his expression growing intense. "This is about the cover-up, isn't it? This is about Godfrey turning into the new Walker and hiding truths he doesn't like. Dan, tell me straight up, is this really about a meteor shower, or is this about, you know, them?" "It's going to be worth the drive. Dan said with enough of a smile to encourage Trey's excitement. But remember, whatever you see, you tell no one and you show no one until you're back in Birchwood for a debriefing. That's almost as important as getting the footage, okay? It's a two-part mission, Trey replied. Understood. My job isn't just getting the footage, it's getting the footage back here, unseen by anyone else. Clark patted Trey on the back. Bingo. Trey then held his hand out for a sports-style handshake, the same kind Dan had struggled with a few days earlier with Tara's short-term male acquaintance. He handled it more smoothly this time. Good luck, he said, closing the van's door after stepping out. Trey rolled down the window and waved, calling out as he pulled away into an early morning full of promise. Luck is for losers, dude. I won't let you down.